an eternal reward. The one who manages the little that he has been given with faithfulness and integrity will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little that they do have, the small things that they have been given, will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. If you have not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be trusted with eternal treasures that flow from God? And if you have not been proven faithful with what belongs to another, why should you be given wealth of your own? It is impossible for a person to serve two masters at the same time. You will be pushed and pressed to love one and reject the other. Thanks be to God for his word. The Dreamer is an old story about an ambitious man, the Dreamer, who was always on the alert to take advantage of any situation for his profit. And one day, the Dreamer met a traveling man who told him about a faraway land where onions were unknown. No onions, thought the Dreamer. I'll go there and introduce those people to this wonderful vegetable, and I will be rewarded greatly. So he acquired a big wagon load of onions, and after a long and difficult journey, he finally arrived at the distant land. He went directly to the royal palace and obtained an audience with the king. Your Royal Highness, he said, I am pleased to tell you that I have brought to your country a new vegetable that will, in fact, improve all foods. Moreover, even by itself, it's a gourmet's delight. The king then arranged a special dinner to taste the onion and evaluate the Dreamer's claims. At first, it was served to a group of commoners, then in turn to merchants, officers of the state, members of the royal court, and finally to the king himself. Now, all agreed about the onion's exceptional flavor. It exceeded their fondest expectations. And as a result, the king purchased the Dreamer's entire wagon load and paid him for their weight in gold. The Dreamer returned home with his fortune, and before long, he devised a scheme that would make him an even greater fortune. Garlic is more expensive than onions, he reasoned, and is much more flavorful. I'll take a wagon of garlic to the distant land. If they would like to exchange gold for onions, then surely they will give me diamonds for every morsel of garlic. So again, are you getting hungry? Your breakfast staying with you, I hope? So again, off he went to the distant land and made his pitch before the king for garlic. Now the garlic was tested and tasted just as he'd predicted, and it was received with even more enthusiasm than the onions. Aha, he said, I was right. If the onion is worth its weight in gold, then surely the garlic will be worth its weight in diamonds. The king then held counsel with his assistants to the form of payment that was going to be made for this garlic. All agreed that the garlic was at least worth all its weight in gold, and therefore they decided to pay the Dreamer with the most precious possession currently in the land. And as a result, the Dreamer traveled home with a wagon load of onions. That was a lot for not much, wasn't it? I used to hear a song, a record that my parents would play on the old hi-fi. Now, didn't hi-fi for a record player mean high fidelity, something? Is that right? My wife says, yeah. She says, hurry it up, Dave. And the song was called, I'm a Dreamer, Aren't We All? Sure we are. Most of us are walking down the Street of Dreams, which is another song title, by the way. And sooner or later, we may all find ourselves limping down the Boulevard of Broken Dreams, another song. What is a dream? I think it's a desire for something more. Well, could be. maybe a hope for something that seems like a distant possibility, a want for something better out of life. It's all of that, at least, but however we define it, our dreams reflect our goals in life. Dreams often mirror our deepest goals. The girl or man of my dreams, the dream house, the dream vacation, the dream of upward mobility and earning power, the one big happy family dream, the rich and famous dream, the dream of a happy ending for each and all. Now, in and of themselves, dreams aren't all bad, by no means. We need some hopes and wishes, some desires to pull us onward. If we didn't have those, I don't think life would be nearly as enjoyable if we didn't have something to ponder and look forward to. Yet Jesus gives us a clear reminder today from Luke 16 that some of our dreams turn into nightmares when they reflect anything else than loving God. When the dream house or the dream career, the Savior says, or the dream retirement, the dream of that perfect, happy family, when those become the obsession of your life or mine, when those hopes become the only bullseye for your life's target, then we can wind up with a wagon load of onions and sink into a grumpy gray fog. I believe that the topic of depression is an interesting, very important subject for us to understand. Now, many times, clinical depression is linked to a family history of the illness, probably a matter of blood chemistry, brain functioning, and the chemistry of the nervous system. And it's vital to make, I'm going to say this again, it is so important to make a visit to your family doctor and discuss that with him or her if you think you might be depressed. Don't wait. Go to your doc. And sometimes depression can be triggered by inner anger. Anger turned inward. Smoldering resentment held on the inside, believe me, can act like depression. So can this factor. When our personal dreams and schemes fail, when our favorite schemes and dreams don't come true, then depression can result. Something does not work out at all like we'd hoped. We'd planned our work and worked our plan, but nothing panned out. Life disappointed us. People disappointed us. God let us down, we think. And then we act depressed and go into a hazy blue funk. Jesus calls us, though, to courageously check our dreams from time to time. What are our goals, our hopes, our wants? Do they reflect loving God and loving Christ and loving others and living by the Holy Spirit, serving the Lord with our lives? Dear people, many a day those are the only goals that really endure. The story is told of a New York City school teacher who decided that he needed to see a psychiatrist and determined to get the very best first-class help. He chose one of the most fashionable, popular doctors on Park Avenue. And when he entered the posh, beautifully decorated reception room, there was no one there. There was not a soul in the area. But he saw two beautifully paneled cherry wood doors. One was marked men, and the other said women. So he walked through the men's door, only to find himself in front of another fancy pair of doors that were marked introvert and extrovert. So he walked through the one titled introvert. And once more, there was another set of double doors. And it said, one said, those making more than $150,000 per year. And the other one said, those making less than $150,000 per year. And of course, the school teacher walked through the opening marked less than to find himself back out on the sidewalk heading down to Park Avenue. You see, they kind of got rid of him. If you have to explain these, and they're not worth it, are they? In our materialistic, somewhat greedy society, too many people are evaluated on the basis of income, financial standing. If somebody says, well, what's he worth? What's she worth? I hate that question, by the way, personally. If I want to ask it to one of you, I'll just say, how much money do you got? No, I won't say that. But, you know, I think that's rather a sick way of establishing the worth of a precious human being, pointing to their financial bottom line. The way Jesus Christ established our worth, yours and mine, was very different. He went to an old rugged cross. He laid down on it, and he let them nail him onto it. And then with bleeding arms outstretched, he said, look, this is how much I, the Son of the living God, love you. This is what you are worth to me. And his message to us today is a challenge to weak, unworthy dreams. You cannot serve both God and wealth. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one or love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. Some translations say you cannot serve both God and mammon. And I like it once in a while in the Gospels, one of the old Aramaic, not Arabic, but Aramaic words are used. And that is the very language that Jesus spoke as he lived on earth. There are still a couple of pockets of Aramaic speakers in northern Israel and southern Syria. You can write, this is good stuff, you can write it down. Aramaic, mammon, meant wealth, stuff, fancy things, possessions. Some translations say, rightly, you cannot serve both God and mammon. But what do you dream about? What are your goals truly, really? Whenever people in the world actually care about one another, then God is being served. Wherever we serve to advance compassion, then the Lord is being honored. People work for justice and fairness and honesty. When they work that way for the multitude of people, they are doing the will of the living God. Everybody who labors for understanding and peace and cooperation is working on Christ's healing team. Pointing others to the living God, living out your love for Christ. Worthy, worthy dreams and goals. The wonderful British author C.S. Lewis said, Jesus is God's resounding yes to us forever. Yes, I am with you. Yes, you are of unspeakable worth. Yes, lives of faith and love are truly possible in God. Yes, have no doubt, be assured that the essence of God is touching you with unbounded love. Dear friends in the Lord, we are worth infinitely more in our weight in onions, gold, diamonds, or garlic. As Jesus' own people, our dream, our goal, is to see others in that light as we serve and cherish and pray and care. Amen.